Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new edition of Geek to Me Radio, episode 250. Today we'll be talking with actor Kathy Garver about the voice of Firestar and Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Then we'll talk to actor Robert Costanzo about his multiple TV and film roles, and of course, voicing Harvey Bullock in Batman the Animated Series. Finally, we'll sit down with George Newbern and Marine Canales Barrera. All that and more, stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all.
And for those of you who may be finding us for the very first time, welcome to Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, James Enstall. Each week, we try to bring you a new guest in TV, film, movies, comic books, an artist, a writer, a director, a composer, an actor, and someone who you'll hopefully find as interesting as I do. And for those longtime listeners, here we are, 250th episode. I started this just a little over 5 years ago. August 6th was when I started Geek to Me Radio back in 2016. I never thought I'd be doing it 5 years later, 250 episodes later. Thank you for all of you who have listened throughout the past 5 years, the past 250 episodes. And again, for those of you who are new, you've got some catching up to do. So hit up Geek to Me Radio, look through the back catalog, and start anywhere you like. When you find the name of someone you like, click on that one and let me know what you think. Leave us a 5-star review if you could on whatever platform you happen to be hearing this on. That always helps us out, and we appreciate it greatly. Without further ado, 3 great interviews. I'm not going to break these up or edit them at all, as I sometimes do, because these were face-to-face. Actually, having been able to sit down and chat with these people was amazing. I didn't want to interrupt the conversation, so 3 interviews, only 3 segments. Here we go.
We're chatting with Kathy Garver, you'll know from TV, and of course the voiceover roles. We're going to talk about all that. Kathy, how are you?
I am terrific, because I'm at Terrific-Con.
Exactly,
how are
right.
you doing?
I'm doing terrific as well. See, it's the effect of the con. It makes everyone feel terrific.
It does indeed.
So I was looking over all your TV credits on IMDb, and it's amazing. Just to list some of them, Father Knows Best, This Is Alice, you've been on the Patty Duke Show, Family Affair, and it looked like, if I'm not mistaken, your first voice role was with Super Friends in 77. Is that correct?
Actually, that wasn't my very first voiceover role.
Okay.
And I remember when I was with the John Campbell agency in Hollywood, and he says, "Oh, we have a voiceover audition for you to go on." I said, "What's that?" I said, "I had never done a voiceover. What does that even mean?" And so I went on this audition for Tuna. And so I go in there, and he says, "Well," he says, "we want you to say, I like Tuna." And I said, "Okay, I like Tuna." He says, "Okay, now say it in a different voice." "A different voice? What does that even mean?" I said, "I like Tuna." And he said, "Okay, thank you very much." Like, next. So I immediately signed up for voiceover lessons. But that was actually my first entree into voiceover.
And you think about it now, voiceover is prolific. Like, big name stars want to be in these animated things because it's the cool thing to do. So you were doing it before it was cool.
Absolutely. I've always been cool. Until I was hot with Firestar.
Exactly. So that was a big show, because I told you when we first saw each other on Friday, when I read a comic book, whether it's Firestar or in the New Warriors, you're still the voice I hear for that character. And I'm sure you must get that a lot.
Yeah, you can't get that little worm out of your head.
Right.
It's like the theme song from Family Affair. Da, 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 da. And people say, "Please." Because it's just there and it stays and stays. But Firestar was a wonderful character. And as a matter of fact, it keeps going and going like the Energizer Bunny. They just brought out...
Those are brilliant.
Yes, they just...
New Marvel Legends line. These are out now.
This year. So, Firestar is finally getting her due, and you may smell these.
Smells red hot.
It is, just like Firestar.
I love it.
It's that cinnamon. So, you know, she has a whole little cottage industry about her. And it keeps going. It's on Disney Plus
now.
That's
right, yeah, the whole series, yeah. And you got to work with, we mentioned too, Dan Gilvezan as Spider-Man, Frank Welker as Iceman. And see?
There they are.
Love
that's
it.
That's the trio.
That's my Spider-Man for all you youngsters who are watching this right now.
Yes.
That's...
This is Firestar and Iceman and Spider-Man in Spider-Man and his amazing friends. I'm one of his amazing friends.
One of my favorite episodes is actually the Firestar origin story where you had to steal the trophy, but like they framed you for it. They framed Angelica for that. And you were mistreated growing up. So when that's kind of a nice, as a character thing, to get into a little bit of meat for the story, not just doing a voice. That must have been a fun one for you to do.
Well, they had great stories. They had a wonderful story editor, and I like the animation. Of course, that is my favorite episode,
right? Sure.
Because it's about me as Firestar. Yes, and Angelica Jones as well.
That's right.
That's
and
right.
You got to, I'm assuming you got to meet Stan Lee a couple times because he was very hands-on with the cartoons.
Oh, yeah, and he did the introduction
right.
to Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and that was actually the first show that he did that he created characters for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he would take the characters that had already been created from the books, from the comic books, and then make a show. But Firestar
right there
was the first one where they actually, he created Firestar to put on the show, and it was great. And she got a four little mini series for her. That is just great.
You think about it, with Harley Quinn now, the DC character, she got her first appearance in the DC Batman Adventures cartoon, Batman Animated Series. So again, you're a trendsetter because Firestar first appeared in the cartoon. Now she's in the comics. So again, that's two trends you've now set.
Yes, and you know, it's I love being at this Comic-Con. Right across from me is the original drawing for the cover. Guess how much that they are asking for it?
I'm going to say $1, Bob.
And you would be so wrong.
I'm guessing that on purpose.
At least
a grand, I would think.
$20,000. You were way off. You wouldn't be so hot on prices, right?
No.
No, don't go. Don't give up this job.
I'm going to stick with this, believe
me.
Yeah. Everyone says don't give up your day job. I'm not going to give up this one either, so it's
right.
fine.
Right. Good. What is your day job?
It's very boring. I work on spreadsheets all day for a company.
Oh, so this is getting out
this is
and
my
being
fun
a little
stuff.
Creative.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
this engages
sure.
the right side of my brain, so the creative part. And you've got a book, I think it's either out or it's coming out soon, too, right?
This will be my fifth book. My first book was a cookbook. I know you can't pan over there, but I will bring books
Look at
to
that.
You.
Full service there. Look at
yes,
this.
Yes, full service. This was my first book, which was the Family Affair Cookbook, which is still in print at Bear Manor Media. Then this was my second book, which was Surviving Sissy. Came out in 2015 in hardback, and it was such a success that they brought it out this year.
In paperback.
Because, I hate to say this, it is the 50th year of Family Affair. And so it's a very big celebration. And then I wrote Ex-Child Stars. Where are they now? Where are they now? There they are.
See?
And here's one. We know where one is. Okay? And then, so my new book that's coming out, this is a mock-up.
Okay.
It's really got more pages than this. And this is the Family Affair scrapbook, which is really fun. It's got lots of pictures and text in it. And also, I have another book coming out. Were you busy in COVID? Yes, I was.
Clearly.
Yes, called TV Dinners. TV.
Oh, that's clever.
Yes, and it goes along with the pilot that we have done that's going to hopefully morph into a series.
And I saw, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you have five projects in pre-production. You've got three that you're currently filming. So not just during COVID, you're still very busy.
Right. And I have to admit that during COVID, we shot the pilot for TV Dinners, but in Cleveland.
Okay.
And then I shot a movie in Houston called Old Man Jackson. They were a little bit more, not as restrictive as Los Angeles.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
So that was good. And then we sold a show to Retro TV, which debuts September the 12th, called Idol Chat, I-D-O-L, Idol Chat.
Okay.
And eight episodes that we're going to start out with. and that is a reunion of classic stars and music stars. So we had Tony Dow and Jerry Mathers on one, and Happy Days on one, and then the Pointer Sisters on another to include the music. So yes, as I say, I have been busy during COVID.
And you had that connection with the Happy Days crewmate because you voiced on the Fonzie and Friends Happy Days stuff too.
Boy, so. You are really smart. You can give up your day job.
Thank you. You heard it here first, folks.
Did you hear that?
So that must have been kind of fun revisiting the Happy Days thing too.
Oh, it was. Yeah, and there it's a great group. And we had the same PR person for a while, Sherry Goldberg, who handles Harry Winkler.
Oh, yeah. Henry. Yeah, no, I knew you.
Sorry. Sorry. When you get to be 39, you know, some of those cells start
Tell
to
me about
dwindle.
It. Yeah. Yeah. But that's, and all the pictures and everything from the book, are these, because a lot of people didn't have cell phones back then. People took pictures, but it's rare they were saved. So are these from your personal collection and then some archived ones you found, or are they all sourced?
You know what? I had a wonderful friend. He was so great. Robert Noodleman was a Hollywood historian who saved many buildings, and he was my very dear friend. And he would then later go online. He got all these Photoplay and Star Watch, all those magazines. He would get things and send them to me. They're like little salt and pepper shakers from Family Affair. It was like in 1966 and 1967. How long ago was that?
It was like 20 years ago, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Again, don't give up that day job. Too charming. They were just really starting to come out with the different kinds of products mm-hmm. to promote the shows. And so we have lunch boxes, there are coloring books, there are Viewmasters, and I have all of these. Plus,
nice.
Yeah, Family Affair was international.
Yeah, that's right.
And so there are even books like Cher Oncle Bill. That was the name of the show in France.
Oh,
and
okay.
There's Lieber Oncle Bill, and that is a book that was there.
German?
And, oh, yes, that's so good.
I love this interview because I'm showing how smart I am right now. I don't get to do that very much.
Well, we'll be on for another hour.
That's right. Tune in after this commercial break, folks.
So, it was the first show that was allowed in China.
Oh, wow.
Because it didn't have a lot of sex, violence, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
It was a show that is still, you know, you can watch today and the stories are classic and what happens and the arcs are just wonderful. The acting isn't too bad either.
That's why we got to give a shout out to the acting, obviously.
Yeah, and there was a good chemistry between...
That's important because you hear even at modern TV shows, a lot of times the actors are having feuds and they won't talk to one another off, you know, off camera and everything. So that's nice that you had that camaraderie and that connection.
And even off camera, on camera, because they tried to redo Family Affair, and that was a wee bit of a disaster. Mm. They started out with that we were going to do 13 episodes, and then they cut them off after 9. Tim Curry playing Mr. French puts a whole new spin on things.
Right, sure, yeah. That's Tim Curry always puts a new spin on things. There's that famous meme. You can always tell what kind of a person is by what movie they know Tim Curry from.
Ah, yes. So. And that was the Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror, yeah. Yes. I first met him as Clue. He played Wadsworth the Butler in the movie Clue. So, but people know him from Muppet Treasure Island. So.
And I know him from Family Affair.
Exactly. That's, yes. That'll always be your connection.
Yes, it will. I just met Guy Gilchrist. Did you see?
Yeah, from the Muppets guy.
Yes. Oh, what a talent. Talking about talents.
Yeah.
But anyway, he gave me a Kermit the Frog drawing that he had made. That's really great. And Nancy and Sluggo, you are way too young to know.
I know.
Nancy,
that was still in the papers. I was in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. They had Nancy comics in the Post-Dispatch.
Yeah, I love it. And he made a book for Tennessee because he's in Nashville now.
Right, that's right. Okay. Very cool. And if people want to pre-order the book or anything like that, we always say please support your local bookstores if you can. But if people, do you have a website you can give out if people want to pre-order or order some of the books you've currently got out?
Absolutely. You can go to KathyGarver.com. So creative.
It is.
But it's KathyGarver.com. And people can like me. They like me. They really like me. No, they can like me on Facebook, on my fan page, because my personal one is full up. And then at KGSissy is my Instagram.
Okay.
But you can get all the books on my website, and I can autograph them. And, of course, they're all on Amazon, but you don't get my autograph if you go through them.
And plus, again, Amazon, they got enough support. They're sending people into space. So
yes.
We can always support the local bookstores.
Local
bookstores. And you can get the autograph.
Yeah, and they're coming open. So I'm going to start doing signings.
Perfect.
You know,
so we can probably expect to see you at more conventions coming up then.
Oh, yeah. And I did a Comic-Con, Gemstone Comic-Con in Idaho.
I've not been to that one, but I've heard that's really good.
It was great.
Good.
And people were so excited to just get out of the house and say hello. So it was a lovely convention. This is a fabulous. I
it
love
is.
This.
Mitch does a great job.
He sure does.
And also, if any of you are watching your con people, it's a missed opportunity to not have Kathy and Frank and Dan at one convention, because I would lose all my money if you guys were all three there. So that'd be brilliant to see all three of you together.
Yes, but you have a really good job there. Dan signed this one, but I think that we're going to appear in Philadelphia together, Dan and I.
Okay.
So we just have to, you know, lasso Frank and bring him along.
Pullmore, he's not doing anything. Frank's never busy, right?
Oh, no, he's never busy.
Well, this has been an absolute delight to talk to you. Kathy Garber, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
We're going to pause right there, take our first commercial break. We'll come right back and talk with Robert Costanzo. Please stand by.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Iceman and Firestar.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. We'd like to take this time to tell you about our official movie sponsor, Marcus Theaters. Marcus Theaters and Movie Tavern. Go to the website, marcustheaters.com, to find the location of either the Marcus Theater or the Movie Tavern location closest to you. Lots of great movies out there to go see. Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds is out. If you're wanting something in the comedic action vein, Don't Breathe 2 with Stephen Lang. If you're looking for something a little more suspenseful, a little bit more intense. Or, of course, Respect, the Aretha Franklin biopic with Jennifer Hudson, is out as well. If you want some drama or you want some historical stuff to just kind of take your mind off the today's current events, any time at Marcus Theaters is always a good time. And I want to let you know, coming up September 3rd through September 6th, Marcus Theaters is celebrating the 20th anniversary of Harry Potter with their Magical Movie Showcase. All 8 Harry Potter films for just $20. Go on the website to get more information about that, marcustheaters.com. 20 years of Harry Potter, and now you can see all 8 movies for just $20. It's a great time to go see a movie, no matter if you're seeing something new, like we mentioned Respect or Free Guy, or if you're seeing something like one of these classic series, like the Harry Potter comes back into the theaters now for the 20th. It's never a bad time to see movies. And with Marcus Theaters and Movie Tavern locations very close to you, you can find the location close by, buy your tickets on the website, download the app too for your smartphone or your smart device, the Marcus Theaters app, so you can, if you're out and about, you can quickly find the location, get your tickets, even order concessions right through the app. A great, great time to go see movies, because it's never a bad time to go see movies in one of these movie theaters that they do so well with the super clean surroundings. They're just the Dolby surround, the huge ultra screen. It's a great, great way to see a movie. We always say it's the best movie going experience in the galaxy. MarcusTheaters.com. Go check them out. We would greatly appreciate it if you would. That being said, let's get to our second guest.
We're here at TerrificCon talking with Robert Costanzo about the list of TV.
Bobby's,
I can call you Bobby. I didn't want to be familiar.
I've been doing this 45 years. I still don't know what to call myself. I'm Robert when I do dramatic, a little pretentious, and Bobby when I do comedic, or Bob, or, you know, just don't call me late for dinner, as the old
right.
cliche goes.
Did you always know you wanted to be an actor?
I knew you were going to ask that. I actually did not. Hmm. I had a degree in business, and the chairman of the board of my company thought I was very funny at a sales meeting when I roasted everybody. And he said, Costanzo, have you ever thought about show business? And I said, well, Mr. Levinson, I guess you've seen my sales figures. And he was too busy with the stock. He didn't know, but there was something about this guy. A couple of days later, went over to Lee Strasberg, took a few classes, and, you know, women who would never look at me said, wow, would you like to come up to my apartment and rehearse some Macbeth? And I go, yeah, why not? That sounds good. That's when I was a real street gabon. Anyway, but that's how it started, and I kind of knew, without sounding too pretentious, that this was my thing to do. I just felt like, yeah. You know, you're the guy that made everybody laugh with the guys, and, you know, they went home with the girls, I went home with the bagels, and anyway.
But getting the women was a nice side advantage of being an actor.
From your mouth to God's ears.
So, obviously, I don't want to dwell on this one too much, but Harvey Bullock, Andrea Romano picked you for that one. And Andrea, we've had her on the show a couple times. She's
Isn't she wonderful, brilliant
woman. So, did you get it immediately? Was there a bit of a callback process?
You know, I can't say I exactly recall it, but I just went in for it. At that time, and I can't remember the chronology exactly, but I had done only all-camera stuff. I came out here in 77, having cast from, you know, everything interlocks and networks and weaves and strange places. I'd done a commercial in New York, got cast from the commercial to do the sitcom Alice. Came out here and decided to stay a little while. Meanwhile, 44 years and two kids later, here I am. So I was mostly doing on camera. I did a lot of sitcoms and did some of the Bochco shows. And essentially, for about the first 13, 14 years, I did not do any voice stuff. Mm-hmm. Then somebody picked something from a commercial I did. I signed with a voice agent. But early on, I would say Bullock, because my other big one was Philoctetes, which the Hercules movie, right, which Danny DeVito did, and I reprised the role for television. And this came slightly before or after. I don't remember this. I just went in as a regular audition. Andrea said, I knew you were the guy right away. I came back. She had the other powers that be listen, and essentially, we did Bullock pretty much like me, maybe with a little more of a side attitude, you know, Batman. And my voice is getting better. You know, get a little hoarse here hanging out at the thing. So, yeah, that's kind of how that happened. And it's been a wonderful experience. It's been a while since we've done it. It's 30 years ago.
I know. Crazy to think about.
I know. I was a young leading man when I did that. But, yeah, and we've had different Zoom things with the Batman cast.
Right, GalaxyCon had one of those,
GalaxyCon, and I think we're doing another one in Ontario, California, mm-hmm, mid-September. So, yeah, it's been great.
And some of the TV shows, you had some Batman crossovers, because you were on the Lou Grant show. Obviously, he voiced Roland Daggett in Batman.
That's right.
Night Court was Richard Mall voiced Two-Face, and he was in Night Court. So is it kind of one of those things where you kind of recognize each other from across the recording studio?
Well, we had known Richard and Ed Asner and I. I knew Ed. And Andrea always did that. She liked to hire real, you know, actors who had, you know, theater background as opposed to, you know, just voice people.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, denigrate the voice people, but she wanted people that, you know, maybe hopefully brought a little more to the table. And truthfully, some really good actors never figured out the voiceover thing. A couple of friends of mine, who shall remain unnamed, just never, well, they're terrific actors, but you do have to, if of course you're not being seen in a cartoon or a radio spot, you have to do, you know, you have to goose it up a little. And some actors want to be sort of, you know, real and connected and organic, but you have to give it a little more pop, because people are only seeing the character, the coffee cup, whatever it is, you know, the skunk on the side of the road whose voice you're doing. So you have to incorporate something to that that's, you know, maybe you feel is, well, I don't want to do that. You got to punch it up a little. It's like when you do four-camera sitcoms, it's a little different. It is different even from single-camera comedy, you know, because you're not dealing with the sort of setup, close-up, pop line, you know.
I guess in that way, voice acting is a lot like theater itself, because you have to really emote. You want to play it to that back row and everything like that.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And being able to do the voiceovers like you did, where you're with the other actors and interacting, because you've done video games and things like that too, where you're by yourself,
too,
and Kevin Conroy's even said it's not the same as when you're in that setting, you get to play off the other actors.
Yeah. Well, one of the nice things of Batman, we were in sort of an arc, like a semicircle, so we were able to make eye contact with each other. And so, you know, you would get something from the other person, you know. So that made it a little bit more like, you know, being in a theater or, you know, doing a scene in a proscenium or even TV, you know, with the master and the overs. Yeah.
And some of the movie roles, City Slickers, obviously Die Hard 2.
City Slickers, probably the most, I guess, iconic role I've done. It's become the most well-known. A couple of funny stories with it. The kids have used that in their fraternity as on their phone when you call. I said, where's my residuals on that? And a couple of some other friends. So, yeah, City Slickers has brought me a lot of attention, I would say. Yeah. So done a few movies with Billy.
Yeah.
Crystal, sure.
And is it, do you like the movies more than the TV show? I would imagine the TV show is a little bit more relaxed, but it, do you have a preference, like big screen, small screen, voice work? Do you have a...
Not really. You know, a lot of it depends on... so much of it sometimes is the fun you're having.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're doing a piece, and it's not terrific, but you like the actors, and, you know, you're... when you're doing something, it's funny, everybody... at least I feel that way. I feel like it's wonderful when I'm doing it. And then I go, it's kind of dreadful, isn't it? But, you know, I can't put my own taste on everything. I would probably never work. Not that I'm a snob, but, you know, there's certain things that I've done that I wouldn't watch.
But do you like, so some actors won't go back and watch themselves. So
I don't mind
do it out of necessity so you can learn, or are you just kind of like, it's on, I'm going to watch it?
No, the first time I saw myself 40 feet high, I go, I know why Clark Gable is who he is, and I know why I am, even though we have the same birthday, interesting.
See, that's a fun fact for those who watch.
There you go. Put that on. But, no, it's fun. I don't mind looking at myself, usually. And like most actors, I always say, oh, I wish I had, you know, it's a journey.
But, you, like I said, you've got to consider yourself blessed with all the different movie and TV roles you've done, all the great people you've got to work with.
Yeah, I have been fortunate. And I would say, just a wide range of roles. And although, you know, one of my problems, we should have such problems sometimes, but they kind of know what to do with me, you know, even though... You know, I can say a three-syllable word here and there, but it was always like, hey, Bobby, you know, we need a blue-collar guy with a monosyllabic vocabulary. And we got the guy.
Yeah.
So, the sort of flip side of that is they don't get to see, me playing a Oxford Don or something.
Sure.
Or the only Don I play ain't from Oxford. Anyway.
And I always ask, because sometimes IMDb gets it wrong, your first credit listed is Dog Day Afternoon, which, what a way to make your debut.
Yeah, well, I was really an extra in that.
Okay.
I was an extra. We were all aspiring actors, and we shot that, and we were all excited working with the great Pacino, even hanging around him once in a while. I got to know a little bit, not well, but I got to know the great John Cassell, who died too early.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful man. Getting sick, just a little bit thinking about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. I guess... My first speaking role on camera, though, I don't know if it was Saturday Night Fever or Between the Lines, which was a really good movie shot in Boston with a great young cast of actors who went on to have really great careers. Jeff Goldblum, Bruno Kirby. I went up there and beat up Bruno. I was a gangster. Bruno was riding a bicycle, and Bruno and I became friends. Bruno also died too early, way too early. Michael Tucker was in that, Stephen Collins, a lot of really good people.
Yeah, Joe Eikenberry. That one came just a year before, if I'm not mistaken, Saturday Night Fever.
Okay, so you know better than I, James.
I did some research, so.
Yeah, thank you.
And you've got a couple of films coming out. I wrote down the title of it because I want to make sure I got it right. Respect the Jux, and your title is just Porn King.
Respect the what?
Respect the Jux, J-U-X, is listed in post-production. And your title is Porn King. I'm just kind of curious if there's anything you can mention about that, or if maybe IMDb put something up there erroneously, which happens.
I don't know that. I don't think I'm in that.
Okay.
Is it a film?
It says film.
Respect.
And it said post-production, or it must have said post-production. So again, IMDb, because that's why I always ask.
Somehow
actors
it's
get...
vaguely... I don't know. Respect.
Maybe you shot it before COVID even, and it's just now coming to production.
I did a movie called Dutch...
Yes, that was just...
Dutch. Which was on the Black Entertainment Network, which the pandemic slowed it down, and then they recast the lead, and we shot a scene quickly, kind of post-pandemic right in the end. That one I know is coming out. And then I did a Tacoma FD, which is a TV show where they satirized the fire department. Mm-hmm. It's funny. And but that's TV. That's on True TV, and I think it's going to be on HBO Max.
I think I saw that advertised on HBO Max coming,
The thing I would like to promo for myself, I did a movie called Do You Want to Dance, which we shot in Chicago, 25 to 28 years ago, but it's on Amazon Prime now.
Oh, cool.
And I played a Greek Orthodox priest. I was about 50 pounds heavier. He was a real priest, Father Chris Krahulis, and it's based on this young man whose life was sort of falling apart, and he met Father Chris, and he helped him out. And I'm it's a little departure, the role for me a little bit. Did a little bit of, spoke Greek a bit, tried here and there on a Chicago accent, went in and out, but nice story, a lot of nice levels of roles to play. So check that one out on Amazon Prime, Do You Want to Dance?
And just two more quick questions. Sure. I want to be cognizant of your time.
Once, but I was drunk. Oh, no, not that question.
You heard it here first, folks.
Okay.
Days of Our Lives, soap opera. A lot of people who do acting say soap opera is one of the hardest things you can do because you got a lot of dialogue to memorize
really
very quickly. How was your experience on Days?
I did okay, and you're right. What they do is if you say the words, you know, and you get them all down, they print it and they move on because they got to do lots of pages in one day, you know. A regular show usually, 5 to 8 pages depending on the scenes. Yeah, that was fun. I did it. Thanks to the Dominican nuns from grammar school, I learned how to memorize quickly.
Yeah. That always helps.
Yeah.
And then with your acting, you've done a lot range of stuff. Do you have a preference, drama or comedy, when you're acting?
I kind of like comedy. I always did. You know, when you're doing drama, sometimes you feel like you're doing wonderful stuff and... because you feel like you're letting the world know the wounds in your soul, and it can sometimes get there. But I love comedy. I love the music and the rhythm, and saying it. Just try to do it like to me, like B. Arthur.
Yeah.
Her, you know, this. I actually have a scene on one of my a thing I did called That Guy, which is also you can get on YouTube. There's a scene with B. Arthur, and she just. The stare, the look, the underplay, you know, just exquisite. So,
and then very last question: you work with so
that's
many.
Three questions.
It was three. I'm sorry. Can I get a bonus question? One bonus?
I get an extra cannoli.
There you go. I'll stop by and get them for you.
You got them.
So, last question: you worked with so many great, talented people throughout your entire career. Can you name someone who you actually learned something that you've retained to this day as an actor that's like, there was a big lesson and...
Bobby Duval. I did The Light Ship with the great Duval. And he told me, Costanzo, the little imitation of Costanzo, acting's like life. We got more time than we think. And I knew what he meant.
Yeah.
I knew what he meant, you know. Although we do have our own rhythms. And I think it's wrong... I remember another show that Richard Castellano, great actor who played Clemenza in The Godfather, Renee Taylor and Joe Bologna, who became good friends, and they did the TV show of the play, and then there was the movie, and I didn't get it, but they wanted me to be a little more like Richard, and we have a different motor. Richard is wonderful, but he was more ponderous and different. Mm-hmm. Mine is more, pops more, and whatever. And, you just find your own rhythm. And Bobby, I think when he said that to me, that kind of registered.
Yeah.
You know, even though, yeah, so much, and he taught me so much with the eyes, you know. De Niro's a genius at that, you know.
Yeah,
look,
absolutely.
You look away with the eyes. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But that's technical. I think you still, Bobby also said, Duvalo said, You know, you don't act from the neck up. You act with your whole soul.
That's a great.
Even though, you know, it is in the face often, you know, but it is if you feel it in your whole being, it transmits. I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, James.
Robert Costanzo.
Thank you so much. Or Bobby or Bob.
Bobby Costanzo. That's right.
Right.
We know
don't
each other
call
now.
Me. Just make sure you call me, and I hope you see more of me than I do of you. It'll mean I'm working.
Perfect. That's exactly right, yeah.
This guy knows his onions.
Thank you so much. Right.
Unfortunately, we're not in the produce business.
Huge thanks to Robert Costanzo. I'm sorry, Bobby Costanzo. He insists I call him Bobby. I guess we're on that first name kind of friendship basis now, but super nice guy. I greatly enjoyed my talk with him, and we are going to take our next commercial break. We'll come right back and chat with George Newbern and Marie Canals Barrera. Please stand by.
Hi, this is Carl Lawley, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Well- Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio, our 250th episode. So of course, I had to fill it full of fantastic guests to celebrate the 250th episode. Kathy Garver, you heard earlier on. Robert Costanzo is fantastic to speak with him. And now, where I'm going to sit down with two guests I've had on, each one separately before, but never together, here they are.
Talking with George Newbern and Maria Canales Barrera. A little mini Justice League reunion here at the con. That's got to be nice.
Super fun. Always good to get out and see folks, especially the East Coast. It's a cozy town of Connecticut, cozy state of Connecticut. We love it.
We love each other genuinely and enjoy each other still. And even if it's only one other leaguer, it's still...
We're all here in spirit.
It's still a blast. Like, you know, and then when other Justice Leaguers join us, it's even more fun. And the people just are so loving and
very
appreciative
lovely.
And still excited about the show that we really have a great time.
And this with obviously the first one you guys have done live since you guys all did Mainframe. Even Carl got in on that one.
Yeah.
So is this the first one that the two of you have done live since everything opened back up?
I feel like it is. Yeah, for sure.
For me, yes.
It's the first con I've done since.
Yeah,
since
the last one I did live was Pensacon.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, Pensacon. And then the shutdown. And, And then it's exciting to be here, you know, masking and...
Sanitizing.
Got my Superman mask.
I love it.
But we're still
literally
able to actually just to do it live was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really fun. We actually read from a comic book.
Yeah.
Nice.
So.
Very cool.
Very
very old one where they had scenes for Batman.
Hot Girl and Superman, which are not very common.
Right. Yeah, because the two of you, there were so many different interactions, obviously, with the different characters. Obviously, yours with Phil, and you had a lot of great ones with Kevin.
Yeah.
But I love the
very
way...
Very little with Hawkgirl, but
It's like a radio play, because you guys did it, the way Andrea had it was all in the round and everything. So it's a lot like live theater.
Yeah.
Love it.
We love it.
I love that.
So good. I'd rather do that than anything. So.
Yeah. I love radio plays. I love the whole style of it. That's exactly what it was like.
And I think last time we saw each other was Denver Comic Con 2017.
Yeah.
So Scandal's wrapped since then. So
yes,
that must be that's a wild ride.
That was a wild ride. And, you know, when it was over, the country got even wilder.
Yeah.
I couldn't have imagined it would have gotten wilder, but it did, yeah.
And I just saw there was a Father of the Bride Part 3-ish.
Yeah, we did a little fundraiser for the World Central Kitchen, and I think it raised a lot of money, and we had a good time. I can say I work with Bob De Niro via Zoom.
Yeah, there you go.
And Florence Pugh and Ben Platt. It was really fun.
And
Steve Martin, too.
Was Steve Martin in Father of the Bride? I'm trying to remember.
No, he wasn't. No. He was just a stand-in for this other guy.
Okay, good enough. And Proud Family, you guys are doing a brand new one.
Yes.
Kind of, it's not really a reboot. Series? Is it? Because people do reboots, relaunches. Is this just a continuation?
It is. It's not... they're all the same age, and they have a few new friends and new characters, but picking up right where they left off. And I'd love to be Sunset. It's fun.
Yeah.
I forgot what she sounded like, and I had to listen to it again. And, it's a lot of fun to start again. I can't believe how many years ago...
Episodes you guys doing? Are they doing a series?
They're doing... Yeah.
This is a big deal. That's great.
Yeah. Yes, and I recur.
Is Phil doing something? I thought
Phil's not on Proud Family, is he?
I don't think...
I thought he was for some reason.
Unless he's doing a guest thing.
Maybe he is, and I don't know yet.
Got it.
And talking about reprising roles, obviously, it was very exciting to see you and Kevin and Susan back for Justice League versus Fatal Five.
Yes, it was
That's
a delight.
The closest
delight.
We've had to a Justice League reunion for Warner Brothers, anyway.
Yeah, I know. So we had blasts and did it. I think they did a big thing in Anaheim at the con.
WonderCon.
WonderCon. They had a little show and a talk about it, so it's fun.
So when you guys are working on projects, obviously you both have done live camera and the voice acting stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference either way, one way or the other?
I love it all.
I don't have
a preference.
Yeah, I love it all. Do it all. It's fun.
The different genres require different things that are fun to tackle.
Yep.
Right? The excitement of television, live, you know, if it's a sitcom, we have the studio audience, so it's kind of like theater, but you can mess up.
Right.
Yeah.
And do another take. Theater, it's in order, and you cannot mess up. It is the actor's medium.
Yeah.
Voiceover, we have the challenge of making everything come alive with just our voices.
Yes.
It's Yeah. It's just so much fun.
Oh, my gosh. I can't. I'll take any job pretty much, as well you can tell, anywhere. No, I like being employed. I love working, and I love being busy. And if it's the better the material, the better the time you have.
Yeah, and it's a blessing to work.
Yes, it's a blessing
and
to work.
Good things, like
100%.
Justice League. Yeah. Incredible.
And you both work with some incredible people throughout both acting and on the other side of the camera, the directing. Mm-hmm. Who is your favorite director, and why is it Andrea Romano?
She is
amazing. She's the best voice director for sure. And then Gordon Hunt, I worked with a while, who passed on, who was great too. Chris Zimmerman, Chris Salter's name. She's also a really good voice director. I love working with. Who would you say?
The pilot of Wizards was directed by Fred Savage.
Oh, wow.
And he was so sweet.
I bet that was
And
fun.
Just an amazing... He still had that sweetness that he always had as a child actor, but then he was like an amazing adult, same person.
Yeah.
And I just remember that being a really special thing. And, oh, gosh. I did a movie Tom Hanks directed and co-wrote. That was pretty amazing to have Tom Hanks as a director.
Yeah, no doubt.
He'd be like, and cut. And then this is him in the scene as the actor, and cut. And then you'd run and go behind the camera.
Would he really? Mm-hmm. You'd be in the scene with him, and he'd literally go, and cut.
Yeah.
All right, and then go,
That's
so cool. Yeah. I want a video of that. I want to see that.
And a lot of actors do directing as well. The other hats that you guys have either worn or want to wear, have you guys ever?
I shadowed for about 2 years on about 8 different shows, different directors, and I learned a lot. I learned so much, and I would direct. I would like to direct TV, but probably I would like to do it if I'm on the show and start that way.
Yeah.
It's a whole different skill set, and I'm not sure I love the episodic part of it.
Yeah.
But I wrote and directed a short film, which I had a lot of fun doing. So, I do it in certain circumstances again. Yep. How about you?
I have a friend of mine who said that I should direct. And
your husband said?
What did he say?
I don't know.
You
direct your husband a lot.
Like sitcom, which is what I've done most.
You should totally do that.
And because I really, I'm good with the actors and how to tell the story, and I would just have to learn the cameras, which I heard is not that difficult on a sitcom. So I'm actually thinking about that.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Before you turn 30.
Right. But, you know, being a good mother and a good wife is a big responsibility.
Sure.
And I've always thought that I had no room for being an... I only had enough to be an actor and a good wife and mother. And really, I think that as I, you know, as the kids grow up, there's another part of me that maybe can direct sitcom. So it's something I am thinking about.
And none
of it's easy. It's all very difficult.
Of course. And last time we had you on the show, you mentioned that you and your husband have a great relationship. If he's doing a project, you're home.
Yeah.
And when you're doing a project, he's home. That's a nice partnership to have in Hollywood.
Sure.
A lot of actors that are married have to do that, and some do it better than others. And we've always taken it very seriously because this is make-believe, and your family and your children is real life. And that's much more important for you to be completely present and well.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes, that is something that I remember sharing with you. And we decided not to be apart for very long. Like, he worked in Africa for like 6 months on a Generation Kill for HBO. And
that
was a huge challenge.
Was it a series?
Yeah, it was a series.
Wow.
The kids were little, and it was hard on us, so we decided that we would just not
even that we far got to for visit. That long, yeah.
He did get to visit a few times during the 6 months, which was great.
That's a hell
and
of a commute.
Other voiceover roles, obviously video games. I mean, you're well known for that. You probably had a lot of people bringing you up the stuff
like
that.
Yeah, a lot of people love Sephiroth from Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
It's been a blast. And I'd love to do more animation work, actually. That's where the love is. I want to do more of that.
And with the video game stuff, I know like some people like Kevin has mentioned that the video game is not as fun to do the voiceover because you're giving the same line 19 times.
It's not as fun. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But the motion capture and everything, I think that's kind of a cool...
I find the motion capture very odd.
Really?
I don't know how to... It's like, for me, it's neither here nor there. I can't figure it out yet. I mean, some people are really great at it, but maybe I'll need to learn how to get good at it. How about you?
Have I done motion capture? No.
You've done partial motion capture for a Justice League game. Didn't you have to wear... a helmet with a little camera on there? I've had to do that.
I don't remember.
What it's doing is just showing your shooting your face, which is odd.
I think I may have done it once.
Yeah.
I'm recurring.
You're mostly
also
drunk
on
when
the
you're
new...
working, right? So yeah.
I'm doing another recurring role on the Madagascar animated series for DreamWorks. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I play a Cuban parrot who was a dancer in Cuba. And it's so much fun.
That's great.
So that's, you know, I want more of it because it's just a blast to do.
And obviously the voice work, you got to do She-Hulk.
I did She-Hulk. Can you believe it? See how tough I am?
I know.
People think I'm this glamour puss. And they're right. But I'm also, deep down inside, such a warrior.
Yeah.
Such a warrior, yeah. Guys. That was fun. I mean, that my throat was like I really, put everything into that.
Right. And that's going to be exciting to see the new series coming out, too. Hopefully they'll roll in something, a little tidbit from what you did in the role.
That would be nice. Fun.
And I know I want to let you guys get eating. So last question. I always love asking actors. You've worked with so many different people throughout your careers, both on and off camera. What is something from, an actor you've learned something from that you stayed with you in your career that you stood out? I'll start with Maria.
Start with me.
I'll start with George. Okay.
Shirley MacLaine said, Don't be afraid to use the fake tears in your eyes because it's all fake.
Wow. That's good.
Yep. What a relief that is.
It's a relief. Yep.
It wasn't necessarily things that they said, but how they comported themselves.
Mm.
And believe it or not, Burt Reynolds was pretty amazing.
I worked with Burt Reynolds. What did you work with him?
I worked with Burt Reynolds. I did... when I was still in Miami, I did a part in a movie that he starred in called Cop and a Half.
Yeah.
And then he directed my first pilot, which was a spin-off of Evening Shade. Did give me something.
Was it Ludwig Thomas?
Yes.
Show?
Yes.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
And he said, he actually taught me something for behind the scenes. This was Bert. He said, see that person over there? She's good crazy. There's good crazy and there's bad crazy. She's good crazy.
She's good crazy.
And I was like, you're right. Because, you know, there's a difference.
Oh, yeah.
And the good crazy is just an endless supply of amazing stories, Hollywood stories. And the bad crazy you want to stay away from.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting counsel.
Yeah. He was a good man. I like Bert.
I liked him, too. Yeah. He was amazing.
Yeah. I've never heard someone say Lonnie might have had some bad stories. But other than that, everyone's always had great stories about Bert.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I spent 3 months with a guy in Chris Reeve up in Canada shooting Switching Channels.
Wow. Two Supermen.
My fourth job. And I hadn't had the Superman job yet, but I hung out with them. I said, what was it like to be Superman? So I was like a total fan. But I got to work with both of them. It was crazy.
I mean, I grew up with Cannonball Run.
Those were my favorite movies.
He was the biggest movie star in the world for a long time.
Remember Gator that was shot in the Everglades?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so to get to work with him and to make him laugh was the best feeling in the world.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, that kind of personality, like Tony Danza, too. Tony Danza, these people are, passionate people. Like, I grew up with a father that was like that. Like, mm-hmm. You know, they say what they feel when they're upset, and they say when they feel when they're happy. And I like expressive people, and I got to work with Tony Danza and Burt Reynolds early on, and I understand those kinds of people, and I appreciate the fact that they have incredible careers and longevity.
Yeah, yeah.
In a crazy business.
You worked early Danza. You were in the early Danza years.
Mid Danza.
Mid Danza. Gotcha.
Mid Danza.
So we'll put a timeline
after.
On
after Who's the Boss? And
I'm a singer and a Danza.
You're a tiny, tiny Danza.
A tiny Danza.
Hold me closer.
Yes. He was terrific. He was terrific. Yeah. You know, to work with and. I told you, with Tom Hanks.
Yes,
I worked with Antonio Banderas.
Really? I worked with Tom Hanks, too. Shut up.
Antonio Banderas was great. He had us over his home and made paella for us.
Oh, no kidding.
And his wife was...
Antonio's daughter.
Melanie was very sweet to us. And
very sweet.
It was just really wow, these people are, larger than life and incredible successes, and they're just also... very down to earth and very sweet to the people they're working with, and that was really nice. Edward James Olmos, I did a series and a film with him, and of course he's like this big Latino icon. I learned from him.
God, I can't remember when you weren't talking. When is this going to stop?
You see why I love him so much? I love him. Anyway, I was saying. What was I saying?
Edward James Olmos.
Oh, Edward James Olmos. Yeah. What I learned from watching him was you don't have to be married to every single word in the text.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so
literal. That's a great piece of advice, actually.
I feel like I have to, like, say everything in... And
too many rungs on the ladder.
Oh, stress out about it. And he would not do that, but he knew exactly what he was saying.
Yeah.
It was episodic, and maybe he had the permission and the freedom to do that, being who he is. Mm-hmm, but it was amazing to see him be so excellent and real, just speaking the meaning of the words. And I was here trying to, like, say every word exactly correctly, and if I missed a word, it would throw me... And I learned to relax I'm still learning to relax.
Same.
Yeah, we're all learning. That's the never stop learning. That's
exactly.
the important thing.
Exactly.
Well, this has been great.
You.
George Newbern, Maria Canales Barrera. It's always a pleasure to see you both. Thank
Good
you so much for
you.
Your time.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it. We need to make sure before we go, though, we thank our premier sponsor, the City of St. Charles, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau, for supporting this show for the past 250 shows. They've been with me since the beginning, and literally the show would not be possible without their support and their generosity. If you get the chance, go to check out the website, DiscoverSt.Charles.com. DiscoverStCharles.com. Looking forward to hopefully having the rebranded Wizard World, as it will be Fan Expo St. Louis, hopefully in the St. Charles Convention Center in 2022. That's the tentative plan at the moment. It'll give you all a chance to come see how wonderful St. Charles is, how much I've always talked about it, and you'll be able to come and say, yep, he was absolutely right. If anything, it's even better than he had said it is. It's a gorgeous time to go down there, especially now with the weather just being so nice out today. There were so many people out taking their dogs for a walk, bike riding, or jogging on the Katy Trail, just out enjoying the great day. And of course, festivals coming up, Legends and Lanterns in October, and of course, Christmas traditions. Those will not to be missed festivals. They are a fantastic time for the whole family. Get out and come see one of these events, or just get out and have some fun. Go outside and get some fresh air and take in one of the shops, or just go get some great food at one of the many, 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 many restaurants that are up and down St. Charles Main Street, both South Main and North Main. And these are all small businesses, so get out there and support them, because that's more important now than ever. I want to thank them for all their support over the past 250th episodes. Huge thanks to my guests, Kathy Garver, Robert Costanzo, George Newbern, and Marie Canales Barrera. Thank you, of course, to Mitch at Terrificon for putting on this great show and gave me the opportunity to sit down and chat with these four fantastic people. As always, thank you to Joey V, the other guy who's been with me for 250 episodes now. Probably seems like a lot more than that to him, because he does all the heavy lifting on the show. Would not be able to do the show without him, so thank you to Joey V. And of course, thank you to you. Thank you to all of you for listening and for tuning in each week and just taking the time to say nice things and retweeting me and following me on Instagram and all the stuff you've been doing. Until next week, my friends.
It's not in the way you watch I sound be. It's not in the way you watch the flash. It's not in the way you love Scotty Young Art. It's not in the way you play Mario Kart. It's not
Thank you, New York. Good night.
Hey, kids. Are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome, bit.ly/geektome.